Hey, dude, where's my money?
I don't know. Is it still under the mattress?
Hey, that is the question. Where is your money? Matt Robeson, Mike Morton, Financial Life Planning. This reminds me of Dude, Where's My Car? You want to talk about Dude, Where's My Money? Shouldn't you know that? Actually, isn't that your whole job, Mike Morton? Why are you asking people to figure out where their money is? If they don't know that, how can they even help? How can you help them? How can they help themselves? Or is that your point?
Yo, I don't need to know where your money is, Matt. Of course, I know where my client's money is.
Oh my gosh, this has
Dude,
a whole.
Dude, where's my car?
Actually, there's another movie that this really echoes. It's The Bank Run in It's a Wonderful Life. You know where you've seen It's a Wonderful Life, right? And like the whole crowd's there, and they're all making the run on the building and loan. And Jimmy Stewart's like, "Well, I don't have your money. It's in Joe's house." And then they did it on The Simpsons and was like, "I don't have your money. It's in Bill's house. It's in Fred's house." And Mo was like, "What's my money doing in your house, Fred?" That's how I feel. Like, why do you have my money? I don't understand it. So why do you really want to talk about this idea of knowing where your money is?
Yeah, so you want to, it's the concept of you might have a great income. You might be living within your means. You might be a great saver. You've got a nice house and everything else. But if you don't have access to some of your money, then that could be a problem now and it could be a problem in the future. So knowing where that net, what we call net worth, your wealth, whether it's you owning your home, having retirement accounts, having brokerage accounts, you want to have an idea of where the money is, both for two reasons. One, so you have flexibility now and in the future. And also, so you just have a sense of where everything is and how you're going to be able to use it.
So you're talking about how much of your money is locked up.
Correct, because some of those places that I just mentioned are not easily accessible, right? So I own my home. Well, unless you're going to move homes, you know, you can't really get the money out of your home so easily. Although we can talk with strategies about how you can do that. And then, of course, retirement accounts. If you're not retired, then it's harder to access that money. So again, you might be losing some flexibility if you don't have easy access to at least some of your wealth.
I see. But you've cautioned all of us before about not wanting too much of your money in cash. We were actually, you were just making fun of me, right? For like the keeping your money under the mattress. We made much light of that in a recent episode. So what's the right amount? Like, is it, I'm now my head's kind of doing a little bit of a 180, or maybe I'm about to do a full 360. Like, is there, I should be worried about having not enough and I should be worried about having too much?
I like to keep you on your toes, Matt. You should be worried about all kinds of things. This is what I love about it. I like to keep you worried. This is fun.
Keep me scared. Good. That's a great show strategy.
That's right.
Listeners, I'm here to alleviate your anxiety. Mike is here to scare the hell out of you.
No, out of you, Matt, not the listeners.
Oh,
just
out of me
That's what's
personally.
Fun about this show.
Yeah. So the listeners can point and laugh and say, look at Matt.
That's correct.
He's freaking out. So so you don't want to overdo it, but you want access to it to enough.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let me tell you a story. I had some clients, we'll call them John and Jane, and they're in great shape. You know, we've been working together for maybe a little while, and they make great income, about $300,000. They've got two kids, ages 9 and 12, and they've been great savers. So in their retirement account, they've got about $750,000. They've just purchased a new home about a year ago. They own about $750,000 in that home. But when you look at their checking and savings and brokerage accounts, it's only about $40,000. So therefore, we had to be very mindful of current expenses, right? Is one thing we have to be very mindful of. The paychecks, you know, you and I know this, Matt, right? Two kids, ages 10 and 9. Yeah, money in, money out, man. It's like coming and going, right? So even though they have a great income, expenses are, you know, pretty high at this stage of life. So money in, money out, we don't have a lot of excess savings. So we got to be very careful with 401k contributions, right? We talked about that. You're going to, you know, if you add more to your 401k, your net paycheck goes down. So we have to be very careful of that. And also flexibility, right? What if they want to make a job change, take some time off? What if they want to take like a really epic trip, you know, when the kids are in high school? There's not a lot of access to funds. So we've got to build those back up. you know, again, the home, $750,000, retirement, $750,000. You're thinking, oh, $1.5 million, this is great, but just not a lot of access, you know, in current funds. So it's something that we need to be very careful of.
I am struggling. I'm hard of math right now. It looks to me like, is it the case, you said $750K in their house, $750K in their retirement, so that's $1.5 million and only $40K in their brokerage account. So that looks to me like 3%. 3%
yep.
is in this kind of accessible amount. Is that common? Yep. Do you see that a lot with your clients?
I don't see that often with my clients, but I think this is very common in general. One, because we like to keep up with the people next door, so we have nice homes, and we all know home prices, you know, are not cheap, right? Okay, so
right.
We have a
home.
I've noticed. Yeah. We've got a home. They've gotten bigger. They've gotten, you know, not cheap, right? And then also, people are great savers, right? Our listeners are great savers, so they know to sock away the money in the 401ks, the 403bs, take advantage of all these tax advantages with the IRAs and everything. So you're trying to maximize those tax advantages, you know? And so you end up with money in those two buckets. Only if you have leftover money after saving can you add to your brokerage account. Now, you and I, Matt, have had some episodes on the reverse problem, right? That's the money laundering, too much in the brokerage, let's use the tax advantaged accounts. So you're right. This is the opposite of that. You need to have money in your brokerage account as well, you know, for certain things so that it's accessible. So yeah, I think a lot of people run into this, not having enough ready, accessible in their checking, savings, and brokerage accounts.
Well, there's that oft-cited statistic that 80% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. You're not talking about quite that extreme, although that's very commonplace, but it sounds like people do tend to disproportionately have their assets kind of in that pie chart in either retirement in a really not super accessible way, unless you're going to pay a big tax penalty, or in your home equity.
That's correct. So from the U.S. Census Bureau, the median assets, so look at the census, this is from 2021, and they found that the median household at financial institutions had between $10,000 to $40,000, okay? $10,000 and maybe some stocks of another little bit, so $10,000 to $40,000. In their retirement accounts, $75,000. So easily double that amount in the retirement accounts. Mm. And the home equity, $175,000. So much higher home equity, higher retirement accounts, and not enough in those checking, brokerage, and savings accounts. Both for, again, for emergencies and for flexibility.
I'm just going to do some back of the envelope here. I hadn't thought about this. So you're saying like 75, 175, 250. And let's say you've got that. So it's like 250 locked up and about 40 that you can access. I don't want to use the term liquid because I think that it sounds like that's mixing terms. Maybe I don't want to do that. Yeah. But that's not that bad. Like in that case, I mean, it's bad because you wish you had more assets like John and Jane, right? Yeah. Like they're sitting on $1.5 million. They're in great shape. Yeah. But, you know, as a proportion, then you're closer to that like 15 to 20% in an accessible way. And that seems like it's more that target that you're looking
for. Yeah, I wouldn't count this in terms of percents at all. I hate talking about percents because it just is not customized to your life. 10%, right. 15%, 20%. Now, we talk about it sometimes. I do with young people say, save 15% of your gross income because that just works out mathematically. It's easy to understand. But when we're talking about the flexibility in this topic, what I really want to get to is the raw dollars. All right. So we talk about emergency fund. You calculate your expenses that you have to pay, and you might want 3 to 6 months of expenses. All right, in your emergency fund. So that's like actual dollars, not percent of anything. And the same is true with this. I really want to think about it in terms of flexibility. So you got your emergency fund. How much do you need in there to feel confident that if I want to take some time off and change jobs, my career's not going in the right direction, if I want to take like a really epic trip with my kids, you know, when they're in high school before they leave the house, you know, maybe I need some money ready for that. It's this idea that you might be fine now. There's no anxiety with it. Hey, we're living fine. We've got 1.5 million. But what about in 2 years from now, right? Maybe you want to have some flexibility. Now is the time to start looking at that and making sure you're saving in the right locations.
Well, dude, this just happened to me. This literally just happened to me. Well, not yesterday, 2 days ago. Okay. Because you're right. We've been talking about sort of the opposite problem. You've overthrown your money into a brokerage account that you think this is like that account type thing, right? You think it's in a tax preferred type of account, right? And it's not. And I'm one of these people. I did it. This is the part of the show where everyone can look at me and point and laugh and say, see, Matt, what a dope. And so I have too much. I know we don't want to talk proportions, but I have too much actual raw dollars in a what is essentially a brokerage account. Now, it's in a target date fund. So I had fallen into the fallacy of it's invested for retirement. Yeah, but it's not in one of those IRAs, Roth IRAs, right? Like I've still got the tax consequences. And because you talked about that distinction between mutual funds and ETFs, I didn't know about all that. So it's in mutual funds. So I got walloped with a big tax bill a few years ago because they changed the tax treatment. But this just happened to me 2 days ago. My kids are in a private school. It's a long story. That is a long backstory. We hate it. We hate it. We hate it. We don't love it. But it's the right choice for us. And the way they do it is you have to put down a deposit for the year ahead. And we were going ahead and re-enrolling them. All of a sudden, we got hit with a big bill. And I know we've joked on this show before about the fact that your clients are always like, oh, well, this was an unusual thing that happened this month, but it won't happen again. And on this was different than that. Like, I always fall into that trap too, where I'm like, oh, this was an unusual expense, but really it's something is always happening. But this was truly a big hit. And I looked back and a year ago, February, guess what? Same darn thing happened to me. You get this big, it was just unanticipated. We have a pretty stable cash flow because we account for the fact that we're going to have those unusual things. This was just a massive one. So what did I do? I thought to myself, well, Mike's been talking about this whole legal money laundering thing and the way to kind of get yourself out over time from having too much money in your brokerage account. I'm just going to take the hit. I'm just going to take advantage of the flexibility of the fact that this money, yeah, it's in target date funds. Yeah, I'm selling it. I had to go into Vanguard and I had to select the whole, like, they'll give you these options. Like, do you want to minimize your taxes? It's like, yes, I would like that. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I'm going to pay taxes on this, but I took a portion of this and I converted it right into our checking account, not just to cover this, but also because sneaky thing, I'm going to open an IRA and I'm going to start to backdoor launder this the way you advised. So I'm going to do both of those things, but I had that flexibility. And so I guess it's a little bit of upside. This is me making myself feel better about bad news, too much money in brokerage. Good news is I did have that flexibility and I needed it right now.
And you know what else is great, Matt, is that you had a plan, right? We've talked many episodes. We've talked offline. You have a plan. Okay, I've got this problem, too much money over in this one bucket. Want to spread it out into these other buckets. And so you have an overall plan. So when you're hit with a choice, oh my gosh, I got a large bill or something, you're like, okay, let's look at the plan. Oh yeah, this is the plan. Great, here's an opportunity, you know, that we can continue to implement the plan. And I'm telling you, in 3, 4, 8 years, you look up and you're like, man, the plan is really working. You know, I'm now saving tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. And so this is the same idea. It's like, you want to have tools in the tool chest such that you can bring them out and use them. And that's why I love having money in these different buckets. Here we're talking about, you know, your real estate bucket, your retirement bucket, and your available bucket. Other buckets are, we've talked about in the past, tax deferred, tax free, and taxable. Three types of money buckets. And again, it's tools in the tool chest that you can use year in and year out. I've got a sabbatical this year. I'm taking a big hit, you know, with a kid going somewhere. You know, I've got the college years coming up. I've got whatever it is. You've got more tools to take advantage of and use year in and year out.
All right. So let's say you're like most of us and you gave us the numbers. Again, we are going to be sponsored for this portion of the show by math. Do you like to solve problems? Try math. So you talked about the fact that most Americans find that a significant proportion of their financial net worth is locked up in their house. You ain't selling your house. By the way, great insight way back when we talked about your house and real estate. You said, don't think about it as an investment. It's where you live. It's where you keep your stuff and also your family. So, you know, that was really helpful to me because so much discussion about housing is about the, you know, like, well, it's a financial investment. Is it though? Like only if you're planning to flip your house, like I'm not. Anyway, so if you're like most people and you have a really big proportion of your net worth tied up in your house, I'm about to get myself in trouble, Mike, because I'm going to talk about something that I don't really understand. I want to ask you about HELOCs, which my last understanding is that the HELOCs had gotten into an alliance with the Klingons to oppose the Federation. But is this the kind of thing that you can use a HELOC to give yourself some more flexibility?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So if you do find that you have some significant money tied up, especially in your home, you can use a home equity line of credit, you know, nothing to do with the Federation, but you could borrow against your home. So now you've got, you know, equity built up, which means you own a lot of your home. And so you can go to the local bank and they will let you borrow money against your home. Now, this is something I've done. My clients do. It's a great use of funds.
Can I ask you a question about John and Jane?
Yes.
When they came to you and they were like, look, 750 in the house, 750 retirement, 40 my brokerage, did you say open a HELOC, my friends?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What are you even doing here? I could totally do your job. Boom. You're fired. Yes. Yeah. I've learned. He can be taught.
He can be taught. That's right. Yeah. You wouldn't know the first thing what to do or where to go to get that HELOC, though.
I seriously, the first thing I would have said is, okay, go to a Star Trek convention. And, all right. So you were saying, yes, HELOCs.
Yeah. The reason I like, for two reasons. One, I love opening them to give you a backstop of emergency funds. So I think we talked about that quite a long time ago, but I'm a big fan of opening up HELOCs. You don't have to use the money right away. So you go in the bank and you say, you know, I'd like to open up a home equity line of credit. It's a line of credit. And so they'll say, great, you can borrow up to $100,000. And thank you very much. And usually they're free to open. that's usually the case. But of course, check the details. And then you can borrow against it. So you can just write a check for $10,000. Like you could have paid for your private school, write a check against the home equity line of credit. It would immediately borrow the money. You'd immediately take it out. And then you owe interest on that. And it's usually a 10-year window that you only owe interest on the money you've borrowed. So if you borrow $10,000, you might owe $500 over the course of a year, just paid monthly. Now, again, you're not paying down the $10,000, you're just paying interest. So it's a very cheap way of borrowing some money. So you could do this. And then the other thing is, so that's one, you can open up a HELOC just to backstop emergency funds to have more access within a check writing, right? A few days, you could access, you know, pretty significant amount of money. And then the other thing is you can actually use it. So you can use it. Now the rates are not great. So I'm not running out saying, hey, you should get these things because they're 7, 8, 9% interest. So the interest is definitely really ticked up, but you can use them and take advantage of it. If you are in situations where, you know, look, cash flow issue. Again, the things we talked about, changing jobs. I know I can make this back in the future. I know something else is coming down the pipeline. I can pay it back. Yeah, it's an easy way of borrowing money.
Well, just to push you for a second on this exact example and my situation in the HELOC, I see what you're saying about having different tools in the toolkit. In this case, joking aside about this portion of the show being brought to us by math, I'm not going to belabor a whole bunch of math for our listeners. But it sounds like in my situation, let's just choose a round number. Let's say my hit was about $10,000. I have this sudden expense. Oh, I didn't realize this was coming. I didn't think about the fact that this, you know, was going to hit me all at once. And so I did the approach of, all right, I'm going to use the flexibility of having too much money in my brokerage account. And I'm probably going to pay a capital gain on that. And let's just assume for round numbers that the gain is $5,000. On that, it's quite possible. And then I'm going to pay 15%. That seems about right, you know, as a capital gains. So that means I'm going to pay $750 of tax. Okay. And so what I'd have to figure is if I have the HELOC, that's another option. I could do the 10,000 And then I just have to look at, all right, what's my interest going to be? How does it compare? And, you know, right now, maybe the route I took made sense. But maybe if interest rates are lower, then the HELOC would take sense, but make more sense. And so anyway, it totally makes sense to me that the HELOC is a great way to, you know, if you're really like all your money's over in your house, you know, first you could start a fight and go after Jimmy Stewart and like, what the hell is my money doing in your house? And then the other thing you can do is, you know, you have these options, and then it depends on interest rates and taxes and your whole tax picture. And I'd probably call you and say, run the numbers, I'd call my tax preparer, which of these is better for me? And maybe it's not, you know, maybe it's like $100 difference.
First, do not call your tax preparer to say which strategy is going to be better for me. Unless you really good friends with your tax preparer and they help you on this kind of stuff, I have yet to find a tax preparer who does anything except looks backwards and files taxes. Now, I know there's really good ones out there that look forward, but for the most part, they're just looking backwards and helping you to file taxes.
I had a guy for years who would do, like, I could call him and be like, hey, just ballpark this for me. I could HELOC this 10K, or I could do the brokerage liquidation. Which is going to be better? And he would just tell me. It was so great.
Well, keep that guy.
Now I'm going to nag you.
Yeah, no, exactly. Now I'm at the other end of the
line. He retired. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Oh, he's getting too many. Yeah, it's too many questions from you. That's why he retired.
That's right. That's weird because he didn't retire for anyone else. Hold on a second. That's right. This is bad.
This is bad. Yeah. Here's the answer, man. So, keep it simple. All right? You have a plan that you want to move some money over time from your brokerage to the other accounts. So boom, perfect solution. Use the money there. So I'm not even looking at the numbers at that point. I'm saying just keep it simple. So much of what I do with my clients, yes, we run numbers and we can come up with scenarios and all kinds of stuff, but we're making a lot of assumptions about the future and you're just not sure. So a lot of times it's what makes you feel great and keep it simple. Would you have made a couple $100 if we had did something different? Maybe. I don't know. But do you feel great about this choice? Yes, because that's the plan. So there's your answer right there. Now, in terms of the numbers, same answer. It's like, sure, it might have been $750 of capital gains that you're paying in tax. You're paying $500 of interest over the year. Maybe it's sort of a wash. It depends on the stock market. If we were in like a crash, hey, the stock market's 30%. You know, from its highs, I might say, keep the money in the stock market. I don't want you borrowing right now. But since we're at a high, maybe borrowing's a good idea, you know, paying it.
No, it's complicated because I might have had offsetting losses.
Exactly.
But I mean, the point about the HELOC is that for me, the brokerage route was simple, easy. I could execute it. It took me 5 minutes. Exactly. For John and Jane, they don't have that option. And that's where the HELOC's coming in. So as we kind of wind this down, so we've covered, you know, you find yourself in this situation, right, where, you know, you have to know where your money is. And second of all, you're like, I'm not sure that I have enough in an accessible place. So one option is home equity line of credit. What else can people do?
Yeah. First things first, write down some numbers, see where you are, right? That's what you might not even know, like how much is where. So just ballpark a couple of things. It's just those three buckets to start. You know, for most people, it's your home, your retirement accounts, and then your checking, savings, and brokerage. Just see what's in there. All right. If you find that you're short one of those tools, all right, let's try to fix that up. So in your case, Matt, we've talked a lot about, hey, the brokerage is kind of high compared to the other ones. Let's take advantage of the tax stuff. So we could do that. This is the opposite. Oh, I'm finding this kind of low. It's not a problem now. I'm not anxious about it, but I want to have that flexibility in a couple of years. So you just want to pull some of those levers. Yeah, you can, you know, find places that you can borrow money, HELOC, personal line of credit. You know, you can check on those as well. You can always borrow against your stock portfolio at times. You can sometimes take a loan from your 401k, but I don't recommend doing that. But it's a possibility in an emergency. But the big thing is figure out a system that going forward, you can start saving money more in your checking and savings and brokerage account. That could be lowering your 401k contributions. All right. So back to John and Jane, they have very low 401k contributions. We're just getting the match. Make sure you get the free money. Maybe that's 3%, 5%. All right. And then we're saving the rest in their checking, in their brokerage account. They've got plenty in the retirement accounts. Would I love more? Of course, we all want more. But in order to get it into accessible money, you know, you can lower those 401k contributions and start saving there. So figure out ways of getting more savings available for now and for the future so that you have that flexibility.
Right. And for John and Jane, they can still have that money invested in their brokerage account. They're just not having the tax advantage. And then they can find themselves like me, which is not normally something I advise. But in this case, it's like you need the flexibility. Okay, it's in the brokerage account. Maybe you'll take a little tax hit, but you needed it. So you used it. Fantastic. All right. You not only, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the show where I finally learned what a HELOC is. I'm sure by the next one, I will have forgotten. So you can just remind me again. All right. For Mike Morton, Matt Robeson, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for joining us on Financial Life Planning. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to and rate the podcast on Apple, iTunes, or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It makes a massive difference. If you have a comment or question, please email me, mike@mortonfa.com. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. This recording is for informational purposes only and should not be considered for investment advice. Opinions expressed are as of the date of recording. Such opinions are subject to change. I cannot guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the data presented here.